Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. What we share together is a communion of a mystery that this whole earth is yearning to see. This whole earth, this whole creation is yearning to see the mystery. And because man could never see the mystery, he made an image of God in his own image to fulfill his needs. And you know, I have to start with this because it was an eye-opener to me. Okay. During the week, I've just written down points so that I can bring it out. During the week, I was watching television. My cousin's husband was watching a scientific show that he loves. He loves all the mysteries of life. And he said to me, "Do you want to watch this?" He said, "This guy is a very brilliant scientist that is desperately trying to prove that there is no God and that God does not exist." And he said he's a brilliant man, and here he was on television in a wheelchair with a microphone and all wired up and things coming out of him. He was speaking by the movement of his eyes. I can't remember his name. It might come.
Steve Hawkins.
Yeah. He used to communicate through his hands and then through his mouth, and this degenerative disease had got him to this stage where he was completely paralysed and in a wheelchair, and he could only talk through the movement of his eyes. How he did that, I'm not exactly sure. I think computers or whatever. So I was watching this show. And he had analysed, he's a brilliant man, and had analysed this whole earth and the universe right to the edge of how far he could go. And all he ended up having discovered was that there were only certain spaces left. That to me was quite convincing, because God is not in what you can see. So at that point, I was quite convinced this God that I know is true. That was my little, you know, message. But he'd analysed everything, searching for God. And he had come to the conclusion, and he actually said, "Sorry, I'm very sorry to disappoint you," was what he said. "All the theories, I can now declare there is no God." And this was his declaring on the television documentary. He said, "I have searched and I have calculated the whole universe and come to the end where there is only spaces left." And of course, to him, there was nothing in the spaces. But that's exactly where we find this life, in the spaces. I was convinced, I knew that witness with my heart, I was convinced there is a God. And here he is declaring, "Sorry to disappoint you, there is no God." Then he said something that, you know, it just stumped me. You know what that means? In Aussie, we in the farms, we put a stump in and that's the end of the road, you know. So it threw me. And he said, in the end, he said, "I am thankful." At the end of the show, he actually made the statement, "I am thankful." And I thought, oh, who, if there is no God, what is he thankful to? You see, thankfulness is the very life and quality of God. God gave itself away. In that, you see, it says in the scripture, God hid himself in man. when he said, I am thankful, I was looking to see what he was thankful for. But he didn't say, I am thankful for. He said, I am thankful, which made me ask, what for? Who to? But that is the very quality of spiritual order and spiritual life. As soon as he said, I am thankful, I knew that it proved there is a God, but not the God that we have made in the... If you go looking for the God that we have made in our own image, you can always come to the conclusion there is no God. But the true God revealed itself. It revealed itself in him. It revealed itself as him. And it spoke the word, I am thankful. That's the true nature of God. So, the invisible intelligence that hangs the earth on nothing and has hidden itself in you as your true self. There is a scripture that says God has hidden himself in man. I'm not exactly sure how it goes. So the thing that I realized was here was this man trapped in a body that couldn't move. And the God image that we have made, he was not happy with. He was not happy with that God image. How could you be happy in the depths of hell with that God image? Of course, you're going to search and find out that God does not exist. How can God do this to us? But you see, God revealed itself right in that very picture. The true nature of God revealed itself, hidden. And that's what we share together, that hidden mystery of quickening, effervescent life that is our true self. But we miss it so much, we don't hear it anymore because we've lost the true sense of that nature. That truth is not realized by words or images or Bibles. It's hidden. It's hidden in a mystery, but it reveals itself if we have ears to hear. So let's go back to the beginning. I just had to get that out. I was contemplating on it all night, and at the time I thought, it's convinced me, but it had more to do in me. I was meant to watch that thing. So let us share together. Do you know, it's such a privilege for me to be able to share this word. And I love the truth. I love it when it's the truth because it has within itself its own unction to bring itself about. All we need to do is to be still and know I am that I am. It will do its own unravelling of this mystery. I haven't got a lot to share. I've got two scriptures to share with you. But first I want to, I'm going to give you another quote. On Saturday the quote was, do you want to be right? Or do you want to be kind? That was Saturday's quote. Did we all get it?
Yes, I get it.
Sunday's quote was, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. And then I didn't speak Monday. On Tuesday morning, the quote was, the sun is the light that shines. It always gives light without opposites. The sun is the source of colour. Without light, there is no colour. And this is what we're living, this fruitful colour. Because without the light, there is no colour. We are the colour. We are the perfume. We are the expression of that harmony and that order and that nature. Don't you love this truth? Doesn't it just lift you out of that sadness that we feel of a morning? Do you ever wake up feeling sad? I do. I do. And I have to change the location of my thinking, because as soon as I begin to think on these things, I am lifted. Truth has within itself its own unction to lift you. Truth that you cannot see. You see a man in a wheelchair looking for God, and the truth is he speaks it out and we can't see it. If we haven't got the ear to hear, I wouldn't know that he had convinced me. In that space and in that thankfulness is the mystery of life, you know. So now here's the quote. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And that's why when I wake up feeling sad in a morning, I literally change my location of my thinking. Because you see, happiness is the way. It's not trying to get happiness. One day, if I do this and if I work hard, one day I will be happy. No, happiness is the way to one day. And it's every now moment. That happiness is my now moment. I'm calling it happiness because we can do happy. We can change from sad and we can do happy. That's the attitude, that's the disposition, that's the mindset that I can say I change the location of my sadness and I am happy. And I am happy. I'm thankful. Do you know what I'm most thankful for? To understand that this God that we come together to share is a God of life, a God of giving, a God of insight and intuition, a God of help, refuge, strength, never judges. My Father judges no man. A God with no variation in it. Its rain falls on the just and the unjust. I love that God. I love to hear that God of grace, that God of truth, that God that I am. I love to hear that nature because, you see, I am revealing I am that nature, and that lifts me out of this picture world. This picture world, yes. So, God is good. Thank God for God. Thank God for God. Thank God for God. It's not that God that judges and rewards and punishes and puts people in hell and others in a happy place. That is not the God. That's the God of the image that we have made in our own image, and that does not exist. This guy, he's right. God does not exist. Sorry to tell you, God does not exist. Yet right in that place where it was declared, God does not exist, that invisible mystery of life revealed itself. Do we have an eye to see and an ear to hear? Yeah, I love it. So, therefore, I'm glad I started with that, because this scripture now makes sense. Went to a lot of trouble to find this scripture because I couldn't find it. It was a scripture that I had obviously heard somewhere and put to the side because I didn't understand it. And then a couple of nights ago, I began to be aware of the scripture, and the scripture is, it came to me like, even the least among you will do the works I am doing, and greater things will he do. Now that has never made sense to me, And I did. I put it aside because it never made sense, because how could I even think that I could do greater works than he? How could I even fathom that I could be doing even greater things? And that's what Jesus said. You will do even greater things. That didn't make sense to me. So the scripture is in John 14, verse 12. Thank you, Mike and Diane, for finding it. So John 14, and I've written the scriptures down with how I want to present it, and here it comes. He who believes. The scripture that came up in me was even the least among you, but I think that I got that incorrectly. But to me, that was what was the sense of what I was getting. What the actual scripture says is he who believes, but that believes is not something that you have got to do. That is not something that you've got to make yourself believe, which I always thought that it was. And if I don't believe, I don't get that, because I don't believe I can do better, more greater things than Jesus did. You see, that was a stumbling block to me. I didn't believe that I could do greater works than he did. It was in my subconscious, and that was a stumbling block. Now it's opened up, so you watch out. Here it comes. He who believes, that believes is simply convinced concerning matters outside the sphere of observation, to see in a sense, not literally. That's what believing is. It's to be convinced concerning matters outside the sphere of observation. And that is where man operates from. That is why man made for himself a God in his own image, because he was making a God according to the sphere of observation. And that sphere is simply this earth is a ball of man's observation. That's what sphere is. Man is observing the earth and observing the universe, and that's as far as he can search. That is not everlasting life. That is not the potential that we have within us. That sphere, this earth is the ball of man's observation, is the stumbling block to even come near the works I am doing, you will do also. Greater works will you do. That very believing is the stumbling block. That was why I always put it aside, because I could not understand how that could be. Okay? So, and he did say, even the least among you. Isn't that potential? Even the least among you. And if we are talking these things here, right here, today, it is in this world. And it cannot help but increase and expand and grow when it is the Word of God. Okay, so this world that we live in is a picture. We're looking at a picture. We're observing and we react to it and we're living in it. That's what it is. According to this picture, we are convinced. Every man is convinced according to his observation, and that's what keeps him in that stumbling block. Then he said, the works I am doing, he who believes or is convinced, also will do, and greater things will he do. Just before those scriptures, Jesus made a point, and his point was that the Father dwells in me. I am in the Father and the Father in me. And I do not speak on my own. This was the point that he was making. He was expressing that you may look at me and see me as me, but there is something else going on. There is something else that is working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's got nothing to do. I of myself, he said, can do nothing. But I'm saying to you, the Father dwells in me. He's declaring the true nature, the divine, invisible intelligence that is in the spaces and hidden within you. He's declaring it. Why is he declaring it? Because we lost it. We lost the sense of that invisible God that has hidden himself in man. We no longer knew how to allow that immediate knowledge that is intuition to come to our mind naturally and unconsciously. We lost how to do that. That's intuition. That's being guided and shown by the Spirit. It comes naturally as immediate knowledge, naturally and unconsciously to the mind. That's how it works. That's how God works. That's how I saw and was convinced on this television show, because that immediate knowledge, I'm hidden. I see it. I am it. And then he said, I'm thankful. And that just convinced me. That's the only way you can say I'm thankful is by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. So Jesus was revealing the Father dwells in me. I am in the Father in me. I do not speak on my own, he said. And then he said, if you can't be convinced by what I say, then be convinced by the works that I do, by what you see. Every town I walk in, it brings peace. It's a consciousness. It's not even the works that he was doing, but even where he walked, the woman touched him and was made whole. Now, that's not made whole to be healthy. That's made whole of spirit. The outworking of that is to be healthy. Same with me. I didn't know how to get healthy. I just know that I kept listening, and I did make a decision, and the decision was, doesn't matter whether I agree or disagree, I will obey every word that came. And in that obedience, in that spirit, I was made whole, because understanding began to grow and expand in my experience. A change took place in my disposition from a very shy, reserved person to a person who began to be quite, you know, I'll share and I'll say something, and I began to do that, to the point where I'm right here today. So be convinced for the works themselves. If you are convinced and see in a sense, not literally. Then he said, the works that I am doing and greater things will you do. Just begin to behold the greater works in your own experience as it flows as your understanding. Don't limit yourself by saying, that's Jesus. That's back then. That's how he did it. Wherever he walked, he brought peace. He brought an outworking of his true nature of being. Peace reigned wherever he was. Okay, so I think I've made my point. So there is a lifting up out of the picture of this world. There is an encouragement. That's why we come together, to encourage each other, to come up to a place that's the energy of encouragement lifts you even higher. Encouragement has within itself an energy, and it lifts you even higher. Happiness has within itself an energy. We are energy working beings. That's what the life is about. That's why it's invisible, because it's intelligence. It's work. Can you try and make that energy do anything? No, it is, and it does, and it expresses. So Jesus said, be convinced by what I am doing, and greater things will you do. It's simple. Be convinced by what I am doing, what I am expressing wherever I go, that consciousness, and greater works will you do. This should actually shock us. It should shake us out of our own cup full. You know, last week we talked about the cup full of our own beliefs, what we're convinced of in this world. This should shake it to empty what we feel we know. Because when you think you know something, you're not going to be open to hear that I am thankful. If I thought I knew what God was, I would not see where God revealed itself in that man in a wheelchair. How can the invisible, intelligent, clever, very, very clever, very, very beautiful, nobody could pick it unless you could see it. You see? So now let's move on to see the difference where Jesus spoke of this world and I am of above. I actually have brought out this scripture once before, and I loved it. I loved what it revealed to me. It increases our discernment. If we want discernment to know the truth, just read the scripture. Oh dear. Okay, let's start. This is okay, way over here. Well, what have I done here? Okay. Let's start here. John 8, verse 23. I'm reading from my little Concordance Bible of the New Testament. And it, as you can see, it's quite worn. Okay, man has been living in vanity. We heard about it last week, Romans 8. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits. Sorry, I do keep reiterating, but we have to set the foundation to hear this secret thing that reveals itself. So we've got to know the difference. I don't want to talk about this world all the time, but unless we know what this world is, I can't see it when it says I am thankful. All I can see is a man sitting in a wheelchair, you see. So I have to begin to know what it is for that discernment to hear I am thankful. And it makes the statement, and it reveals this mystery, reveals itself in a wheelchair. So we lived for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation was subjected to vanity because we lost the true sense of that invisible, divine, which is spiritual, intelligence, which is the hidden secret in all men. What we do when we come together and we talk about oneness, we promote each other to oneness. We lift and we promote each other to that communion. That's what we share. That's why I share. So that I can share in your communion. And we do. We encourage each other. When I'm feeling upset and I talk to someone, it encourages me to come back to that center, to come back to that truth that is the invisible me. Can I say that? I can say that. Do you know I can say that? It comes back to that invisible I that I am. Okay? So man changed from his original communion in God, in that true nature, that hidden mystery of life. Man changed from complete, I am complete in him, to putrefied and subject to vanity. You see, without that presence, we are empty, vanity. Without the presence and the power of life, without the acknowledgement of it, we have no power. You see? So we become, the word is putrefied. Have you ever seen fruit go off? It's putrefied because it's lost its freshness. It's lost its new every morning. It's lost its word that bears fruit, and it becomes putrefied and subject to empty. And we're all in this world, we're all running on empty. There's no give in this world. It's running on empty. Okay. It's also feigned. The word feigned. F-E-I-G-N-E-D. Conceived with an act of the mind, there is no gratitude in vanity. There is no give in vanity. And that's why this ego nature is selfish pride. Any time that we look and as a fact see selfishness, it's because man is lost. He's lost in a selfishness because he's got no other resource. Do you see what I'm saying? There is no other resource to fall back on. So he falls back on selfishness and he makes a God that's going to fulfill his needs because he's empty of God. Well, I want everyone to know the good news. No one is empty of God. It's the seed of God that is hidden within you as your true nature, as your very own presence. It is the power of life, and it calls from within to have an effect in this world. It's the, it's the give, gush, effect. That's the principle. You could put it this way and say God, Spirit and Son. You could say that, but I like the action of it. I like the giving idea of God. God is that life that is all creation. And what does it do? It just keeps everything working, invisible. And the only thing that we can see is the fruit of it. You can't see it in the space at the end of the universe. You can't see it. But when you discern it, you know that that is what it is. I now know that is what it is. So, love. This is what love is. Love is gratuitously given. That word is actually in there. Gratuitously, freely given. God freely gives itself as you. That's enormous. And you know, if we just consider that today, it will change the whole atmosphere of Michigan and then America and then, you know, wherever we go. That's what Jesus did. He walked the streets and the woman touched him and there was an outworking within her spirit because she touched his hem, because she touched his word, his nature. She touched that is reality. And that's what people will do as we walk the streets, as we share this true word. It has an action in their spirit. It's not to do something for you, but it awakens the soul from its sleep. It awakens the body to stand up in resurrection, because the Spirit of God is that effervescence, that power, and that life that is your true life. So it is gratuitously given. This presence of God is freely given. There is a light that lights up every man that comes into the world. Think on these things. Sila. So this principle, give, gush, and effect. Give, gush, effect. It's Father, it's Son, and it's Spirit. The Father is the cause of all life, the source of all life, the invisible intelligence that we cannot name. I cannot even tell you that it's I that I am, because as soon as I put that to it, I've made it something in this world. I've made it a name. Even though it was the name that was given to Moses, as soon as he repeated it, it became a name in the picture of this world, and we use it all the time. We think we're something because we use it. Was what was said to Moses, but can I use it? No, I keep it secret. I keep it as my very life, and I only use it sparingly. So it's the cause of all life. It's the source of all life. It's the invisible intelligence of all life. That's the give. That's freely given as you. It's the gush. The gush is the spirit. The gush is the action of life, which calls for a response in man. It's not a spirit that is in you calling for a response in you. The way the spirit works is that it calls for a response through you. To call, to be fruitful. I exist. God said, I am fruitful. I exist. I exist to serve you. I exist to give. I have freely given. As soon as I say, God, give me something. What will you give me? What will you give me? As soon as I say that, life is going to say to me, what will you give me? What will you give me? If I say, if I pray, I need this and I need that, life will say to me, I need this and I need that. And why do I keep getting what I don't want? Because I keep saying, I need this and I need that. Give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. You see, it's the nature of man. He made God in an image to provide for him.
Yeah.
And you see, we're programmed to ask God to provide for me. And life just keeps saying, what will you give me? What will you give me? And I keep having nothing because I've got to keep giving it away. Not giving it away willingly, but it seems that everything goes wrong for me. Why does everything go wrong for me? Because I'm not happy. You see, happiness is not something you get to. Happiness is the way, every moment of every day, I guess, to get to. Do you see? God says to you, what can I give you? How can I help you? What can I do? But he doesn't say it to me. He says, freely, freely, you have received. Freely, freely, give. Do you see? That is how it works. It flows. It serves. This invisible intelligence only flows outward, but not to you. But you watch. It comes right back at you. The judgments we make, the criticisms we're in, the unhappiness that we feel are the things that we are drawing as our own experience because we don't know any better. Now we do. Now we know better. That is not how it works. The invisible intelligence of God flows outward, not for you, but as you. And it cannot help but be circulating. That nature circulates. And if you, why does it say, I go before you to make the crooked places straight? And do you know what? Coincidentally, I don't know, things just seem to be working out exactly the way they should. Coincidentally, coincidentally is a union. It's a being together. We think it's something that happens without trying or magically or no. It's meant to be. If you have a coincidence, look at it, behold it, and see the salvation of your God in it. Every single thing that we live has a meaning to it. Consider every single thing that we're doing. Know thyself. Don't allow yourself to keep praying, what will you give me? Because life will keep asking you, what will you give me? Do you see? That's the nature. That's the way of happiness. What can I do? The way of happiness is, how can I serve? What can I give? What can I do? And you don't have to think to yourself, I've got to give money. I've got to give my time. Give a smile. Give an encouragement. Start practicing life everlasting, because that's the command of God to you. There is no other command. There is the only command there is, the greatest of these is love. You know what that love does? It commands you to have everlasting life. That's its command. The only command God makes is of itself. Give everlasting life. I know, it's beautiful. Anyway, let's go on. The give gush effect. Now we're up to the effect. The effect is the Son of God. Thank God for God. We needed the declaration that Jesus proclaimed, I and my Father are one, so that we may know that who I truly am. Without that declaration, we would probably be eating each other by now. We'd probably be, I don't know, who can surmise? The fact is that word, I and my Father are one, and don't use it flippantly, because we negate it. We make it a negative thing in this world. Any name you put to something, you negate it, negative. It you know, slides that way instead of that way. So the effect, the effect is the Son. And the Son now has the Spirit. You see, the Son in the beginning, the Adam man, came away and separated itself from the nature of God, saying to himself, I can be like the Most High God. And he made for himself an image other than the image of God, other than the true nature of my true being. And that true nature hid itself within man. It withdrew and hid itself. Without it, we wouldn't be able to see, hear, taste, touch, live. So we still had that invisible intelligence working as our life, but we didn't know what it was. We lost the sense of it, and we began to take things literally. Okay? So the Son now is having immediate knowledge acquired by intuition without reason, formed in the mind naturally and unconsciously. That is the true nature of this expression of divine intelligence to serve all men. It flows outward. Okay? That is differentiated from taking an act of the mind, which man has done, formed for himself a God in the image, taking knowledge subjectively and objectively according to the sphere of this ball and its universe that is measured by observation. Do you like that? So I have to say to myself then, what are the greater things that we will do that Jesus said you will do? What are those greater things? Do you know the greatest of these is love? The greatest of these is love. Just in the simple expression of recognition that the greatest of these, I don't have to try to love. It has within itself its own ability to bring itself about. And as I am the expression of that, and that's what Jesus was. He was the expression of the true spirit within him. He was not, you could see it in the face if you looked. If you looked in the face of Jesus, the same as this man in a wheelchair. As soon as I heard, I am thankful, I looked in his face and I could see the true nature. And that's where that silent prayer comes. Lift him. Lift him to that true nature that is expressed as him. Okay, so the greatest of these is love. Do you know what love is? Love arouses appreciation and delight to please and promote. Love arouses, love, the nature of love arouses within you appreciation. We think we can say to each other, I appreciate you. No, you can't. Not unless you're happy. If you're not happy, there is no way you're going to tell somebody else, I appreciate you. Do you understand? Yet God is constantly saying, as love, I appreciate you. I give, I love, I appreciate you. I delight in you. I please you and promote you. Not to me, but to you. I please you and I promote you. This is to be, this love that we think we love in this world, this is to be differentiated from affection, which is aroused. Affection is aroused by its objective. Affection is aroused by subjective. It's all outside of yourself. We think we love, but actually we hate. In this world, we think we love, but we hate. We hate the dilemma we're in. We hate what we see going on. And as soon as we criticise it, we're hating it. Yeah. You see, withdraw from all observation of this ball and its sphere. Withdraw from all observation. And don't let yourself put it into words. I have to tell myself that all the time. But I am aware of it now. And I am practicing it now. So when you hear me say something, then, you know, tell me. So this affection that man lives in is simply subjective and objective. It's outside of ourselves, and it arouses affection. It arouses, this is to be differentiated from affection. Affection is aroused in you by something outside of yourself, by subject. And you say, oh, I'm in love. Or there could be an attraction, but it's something outside of yourself. And you think you love, but it's affection, and it's got nothing to do with God. And now, don't stop kissing each other. Don't stop being affectionate. It's a natural order of things. It's an outworking of that true spiritual nature. But unless we know that it's aroused by something outside of ourselves, we'll think it's love. And it's not love. It's hate. Because that affection turns to conflict, which turns to separation, which turns to anger in the children, which turns to resentment, which turns to hate. You see, we think we love, but we hate. So, love gives, love flows, love serves. That's what love does. That's the nature of that give-gush effect. It has an be fruitful. I exist. Be fruitful. Don't you be fruitful. I am fruitful. You see? It never asks, what will you give me? It always says, yes, yes, and amen. It's not about doing good. It's not about competition. It's about cooperation. Yes. It's about coincidence. You think there is a coincidence? That is no coincidence according to our idea. We think we have an idea of what is going on. We have got no idea of the reality of things. So, it's about cooperation. It's about communion. It's about union. It's about seeing that man in a wheelchair and him saying, I am thankful, and that recognition. I know I keep using that as an example, but I can't think of another one. That's fresh in my mind. So it's just an example of stop judging first and look until you see. Behold, gaze at something remarkable, because it is remarkable, but you can't see it if your cup is full of what you think it is. You might think it's a man saying there is no God, and you think there is a God, so you're going to be angry with him because he said there is no God. So I just need to say to you that we begin appreciation to appreciate. I am not on my own. I, the Father, are one. I, the Father. It's not I and the Father. It's I, the Father, are one. I know translations and all that stuff, but that makes a difference to me. I, the Father, are one. One God, one presence, one intelligence, omnipresence, omniscience, omni-action. That's it. Thank you. So by appreciation, this presence, I delight to please and to promote. That's what love is. By this appreciation, this presence, I'm trying to go too fast, I delight to please and promote. I delight to please and promote. As we recognize the life and the presence in man, this promotes all to oneness. As I recognize the principle of how this promotes and pleases, as I recognize that oneness, it draws oneness. It's not Kathy that recognizes the oneness, because we don't know. I of myself can do nothing. But I speak. It pleases and promotes you. It serves you to oneness. It draws oneness out of you. It draws union. It draws communion. You don't know it, but you're actually sitting there drawing the word of God out of me because I can't say because. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that it's drawing that I have within me. So did I tell you the story about the shoes? This was a revelation to me a couple of years ago. I was having a fight with John. I think I might have mentioned it, but anyway, I'll do it again. Because it was the actual revelation of how the true nature of God operates as spirit, not to do something, just as an expression of its true nature. And then you find the outworking, you see. I had a fight with John and I would go to work, but before work I would meet the dentist and we would talk about things about work for the day and we would talk about spiritual things and we would share together. But this particular morning I was upset and because I had left John and I in a conflict. John walked out and I slammed doors because that's what I do. It's how to get the message over. And then, I was upset when I got there and I told Paul, I said, oh, look, I'm no good this morning. Not going to have a good day. I'm upset. And he said to me, he said to me, Kathy, what do you want me to tell you? He said to me, what do you want me to say? He said, can I tell you how to get everything you want? Can I tell you how to live in happiness? Was what he actually said. Can I tell you why we keep getting what we don't want? Now, here he was talking to me about something quite opposite to what I had. I wanted him to say, yes, John's wrong, and yes, he should apologise, and yes, but of course he didn't. He said, how can I tell you how to get what you want? How can I explain to you how to be happy? So, So what happened was he began to say to me, begin to give, begin to love, begin to forgive, begin to serve, begin to give what you have in your heart. Because we talk about all these things. He knew what I had in my heart. Begin to give. He said, start by going home and cleaning his shoes. Ask him if you can clean his shoes. And I was very upset. No, I was very upset. And actually, so I can't do that. John was wrong. Poor John. I shouldn't talk about him, should I? But I could not come to that. I could not come to the place where I could say, I will do that. So all day, Paul's saying, Kathy, just go home. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. Just get out his shoes and start cleaning his shoes. Anyway, over the day, we were busy, but over the day, I considered those things. And I got to a stage where I said to myself, okay, I will be agreeable. I will be agreeable. I will go home and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I will clean his shoes. So I walked in the front door. John was out the back patio at the table outside and here he was cleaning his shoes.
No way.
Yes. He was cleaning his shoes. I opened the door and I obviously had a smile on my face, which broke all the tension, and I said to him, can I do that for you? Do you know that was the beginning of our true relationship? That was the beginning of this true nature beginning to give. Instead of, what will you give me? What will you give me? Apologize to me. I'm the one that was right. You were wrong. The door slammed. You should know by now what that means. You see, and I would keep getting the conflict and the anger and the frustration and the division. It seems to make a gap, a division between us. You see, but as we forgive is not something you do. It's giving that I am. It's forgiving as I love my neighbour as myself. It's forgiving. It's the principle of life. And it breaks. And instead of the separation and the division because of hard feelings or hurt feelings, immediately there's a union and a beginning of the true nature of love, not affection. Do you see? So will I go to John 8, verse 23? It's now.
Time to hear you speak.
Yeah. It's now. Will I stop? Have I got time? No. I'm going to do this. I'm going to continue this tomorrow. I'm sorry that I didn't get all the way. I am going to continue this tomorrow because it's now time. So there's one thing I just want to do. I've got 2 minutes. Have I got 2 minutes? This is what will I call it? The prayer of Francis of Assisi. Now, when I was a child, this prayer was written up on our wall. And because you grow up in a home and you observe these things, you get to know it by rote. You get to know it by memory. And I knew it by memory, and for a long time it was making me feel good. I felt like a good girl when I would read this because that was what I was endeavouring to do. Then I go to work at the dentist and there it is on Paul's door. And every day that I'm there, here's this prayer of Francis of Assisi. The prayer goes like this. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may seek not to be consoled, but to console. To be loved as to love. To be understood as to understand. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in giving that we receive. The giving is the receiving. Do you get that? The giving is the receiving. For it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. Went to confession all my childhood to be pardoned. Never felt pardoned. Always felt guilty. And hold things against people and anger and frustration. It is, little did I know, little do we know, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned and there's no guilt. What is there? I'm happy. Happiness is the way. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. That is what I am talking about, the true nature. This is a prayer. This is why the animals would be so attracted to this Francis of Assisi, because he was a giver. He only gave of God. He only gave of that true, spiritual, invisible, divine intelligence that is the energy of all. He gave the secret of life in pardoning. He gave the secret of life in darkness and in sadness by light and by joy. You see? So we have a work to do. We have a work to consider. Not a work as in I've got to do something, only to be still and know that I am God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.